Tonight, I want to talk about endurance, that we have need of endurance. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, that verse begins with, love is patient. Love is patient. What is love? Love is patient. And that means that love suffers long. It's long-suffering, or love suffers long. And you don't hear a lot of teaching about this today because it's not necessarily popular, but we need to talk about suffering. And it's part of the process of our lives. And I'm going to share scriptures with you tonight and what the Lord, really the Holy Spirit, has to say about this subject, and that there are benefits to suffering. It's not all bad. And most of the time, whenever we have a sniffle or something, you know, listen, I'm not opposed to praying, okay, for healing or whatever our need might be. But most often, we're just trying to get out of everything. We're trying to get through everything so quickly. We don't like the process. The process gets long sometimes. Would you agree? And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Why, God? Why this? Why that? But we have to trust His heart and know God is good, and what He's doing in our lives is actually going to benefit us in the long run. Now, when a piece of clay is on the wheel, you know, and it's in a marred state, it has to go through some adjustments, right? You have to beat on it. You have to add water to it. You get the water, get the air bubbles, pockets out of it. You know, otherwise, once you put it in the fire, it's going to shatter, right? And so, you know, God speaks to in Jeremiah about Israel, can I not be like the potter, you know? And people, sometimes we rebel against God's dealings in our lives because we don't understand what He's doing all the time. Or sometimes, let's face it, we're just not trusting God. So often we blame the devil for everything too. Now, obviously we're in a war and the devil is involved. And so, let me just put it on record tonight. I don't see Jesus and the devil boxing. Okay, Jesus and the devil boxing in a ring. All right? You're talking about the Creator and the creation. They're not in the same league. Amen? Amen. Jesus has overcome the devil. And in redemption, there is healing for us. Would you agree? And it's not just for our bodies, but for the whole person. But I want to talk to you about suffering tonight because it's something that we all have to go through, and we do go through. And if we don't understand the purpose of it, sometimes we can get discouraged or feel that, God, what is going on? Have I sinned? Have I offended you? Have I missed it with you? Why this? Things are going so well, and all of a sudden, ever have any all of a sudden moments? So we need to abide, of course, in God, in Him who is love, because love is able to endure all things. It's not talking about human love. It's talking about God's love, and God is love. So as we abide in Him who is love, we are also able to endure all things. God will never allow anything in your life that you don't have the capacity or the capability in Him to overcome. Over and over in Scripture, God says He wants us to overcome. Amen? Now, you have to have a test. You have to have a trial. You have to have difficulty in order to overcome something. So in this world, we will have difficulty. We'll have tribulation. We're going to have tests and trials and suffering and sickness even, yes. And we're going to get into that a little bit. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, how many know that joy is not necessarily this gleeful, laughy kind of, I'm so happy I'm going through it now. Because when you're going through a real trial, it's not necessarily a happy moment. If you think it is, you haven't had one, right? So when we're going through it, it's tough. But what God wants us to do is draw joy, draw, amen, water from Him. He wants us to draw our strength, draw our sustenance from him. He's teaching us how to live by his word, live by his voice, to receive strength and encouragement. When God speaks into your life, sometimes he speaks comfortably into our lives. When you're going through a rough time, sometimes God will give you a word of comfort for someone who's going through it. He's speaking comfortably into the lives of those who are hurting. But what God is doing is he's honing us. He's conditioning us. He's preparing us to be beautiful. Amen. Because what is happening on the inside is going to, it's what's going to last forever. And like Paul said, even though my outward man may be perishing, I'm being renewed day by day. There's a work that's going on in the invisible realm, in the spirit, that God is working out in each one of us, making us ready for and beautiful for him. So then he says, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience, verse 4, have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, we got to be careful about taking that word perfect literally, because what it means is to grow up or to be matured in him. Amen? It means to be made whole. God desires to mature us. God's desire is that our inward man, our character, would be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, that we will become like Jesus. Abiding in God's love enables us to endure. It enables us to endure trials. It enables us to endure discipline. Hebrews 12 and 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. And that word scourges means like a flogging, literally a flogging, a very painful flogging. Every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Well, that's certainly not speaking to this generation. But in the Eastern cultures, they knew very well what discipline was. There was discipline in the home, and it used to be in America. Not abuse, but loving discipline. Whenever God disciplines his kids, it's always in love for us. He loves us so much that at times he doesn't enjoy discipline, but it's necessary for us. Just like you and I, we don't enjoy disciplining our kids, amen, when they were young, but we needed to. It was something that needed to happen. Now, why does persecution, testings, trials, sickness, pain, sorrow, and trouble come into the life of the believer? Well, certainly because we live in a fallen world, right? Would you agree? Now, are these things necessarily a sign of God's anger or displeasure? See, what we're reading here is that these things are part of God's process. For who? Those who belong to him. So do they happen by chance? No, nothing happens by chance to us. Now, the question is really is how should we react to these things when they happen? Would you believe that God uses these things, right, to conform us into the image of Christ? But he also here, he warns, okay, against despising his discipline or giving up. Because if we rebel or we give up, we lose the benefit of his dealings. And we've all been stretched. We've all been pressed. We've all had situations where we're like brought to the brink. Has anybody been there before? And there's times when, I don't know about you, but I felt like just giving up. I've been tempted. The enemy comes along and said, why don't you just quit the whole thing? Go back to your old life. Go get drunk. Go do something, you know. Why bother? And then he accuses God of wrongdoing. And he whispers in your ears because God's not taking care of you. It's all a lie. And yet, our Father is wise and He knows what prescription each one of us require. It's all unique to us. Everyone's got their own cross to bear. Everyone else has got their own prescription, right, to take. They've got their own cup, as David put it, to drink. And so mine's going to be different than yours, but God knows what it takes to get us into the place where He can develop us and hone us and make us into something beautiful for all eternity. And that's what really matters, folks, is because, like James said, this life is but a vapor. It's a very short time. And then, hey, it's forever, all right, with the Lord. And I believe that we're in the dressing room of eternity, and now is the time, amen, to submit yourself to the dealings of God. Change your attitude about it. Understand that God is with you, that God is for you, that God is working out something beautiful in your life. Amen? Now, that clay has to go through a process, but it becomes something beautiful after the process, but not during the process. It's getting through the during part. Well, that word chastisement really means child training or education. When the Lord chastises, it means as if you're training a child or giving him an education. It includes instruction, discipline, correction, and warning. And all are designed to cultivate Christian virtues and to drive out evil from our lives. How many know that discipline is good? Discipline in our lives is good because if we don't get disciplined, then we continue in the wrong direction so often. Because we're all very prone to wander, to get off track. So God disciplines us and brings us back to where we need to be. And so in this passage in Hebrews 12 here in verse 6, it's not chastening for wrongdoing. It's not like they're being, he's not saying here that God chastens you because you've been bad. Okay. But he's training us in persecution. Now, that's a popular, that should be a shout right there. Hebrews 12 and verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So when we remain submissive to the Father's dealings, we're actually permitting His discipline to mold us. But you know what? If we try to short-circuit this process, His dealings, then He may have to teach us over a longer period of time. I mean, you know, you can delay the process by having a bad attitude about it. Sometimes we get mad at God and why this and why that, and it prolongs the process. Just remember Israel in the wilderness, right? Sometimes God has to use more difficult methods to get our attention. But you know what? This is Christianity 101, but promotion comes because we've been tested. Not only have we been tested, but we passed the test. God's got a school. We're in God's school. And He's preparing us, He's equipping us, He's raising us up, He's using us in greater ways. How many have said, God, I want to bear more fruit? Well, guess what? Pruning precedes more fruit. And so it's all good. Don't freak out when stuff goes wrong or things happen. Look at it like James says, that here's an opportunity to see God work, see God move on my behalf, to see God's miraculous intervention in a situation that seemed to be impossible. Because nothing is impossible with Him. You've heard this said before, but sometimes tragedies are blessings in disguise. You've ever heard that one? Disappointments are God's appointments. When Israel came up to the water of Marah, remember the water that were bitter? They had just finally arrived to a place. They were thirsty. for several days, and they said, oh, great, here's some water. And they went to drink the water, and the water was bitter. They were disappointed. But what they didn't understand is that God had, amen, Elim up ahead, the oasis, the refreshing pools, and the 70 palms, right? So we need to abide in God's love in order to endure the things that we have to endure. Another thing that we have to endure is reproaches and persecutions from people. I know none of you ever had that before, but reproaches and persecutions from people. Now, 1 Peter 2:20 says, what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Well, that doesn't sound like some of the theology I've heard. God wants you out of everything that's bad or negative in your life. But he's saying that God actually commends us because he's watching to see what we're going to do in the test, in the trial, in the difficulty. So we can abide in God and his love. It's by the love of God that we're able to deal with these things, to do the opposite, to bless those who curse us, to love our enemies even. And then fourthly, abiding in God's love enables us to endure rejection, sorrows, and grief. Now, remember Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Here it's speaking of Jesus. What does it say? He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. People thought that God had dumped him, that God was, you know, he'd missed out somewhere. They didn't understand what was actually going on. They're here, the Messiah, the Savior, who had appeared to them in a time when they're under Roman oppression. They thought, great, free lunch, multiplication miracles, you know. Anytime you're sick, come to Jesus. He's going to heal you. The Messiah had come, and all of a sudden, they're taking their Messiah and they're nailing him to a tree. And they say that his visage, he was so marred that he was unrecognizable. They so brutally beat Jesus. And he took all of that for us. He bore all of this for us. He says, he was despised. That means he was disesteemed. He was rejected or destitute. He was acquainted with sorrows. That means grief or pain. And with grief, acquainted with grief, which means malady and also sickness. Folks, Jesus understood what sickness was like. He tasted all this while he was here. And he's a faithful high priest who's able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tested in every point. He was, amen, but without sin, thank God. He never gave in. And he suffered five kinds of wounds known to the medical science. Number one, contusions, blows by a rod. All right, that's contusions. Lacerations were the scourging. Penetrating wounds was the crown of thorns, and perforated wounds were their nails, and incised wounds, the spear. Every type of wounding known to medical science, all five of them, Jesus underwent for us. Jesus suffered for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, despising its shame. Hebrews 12:2. And so here Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Folks, thank God that we don't have to endure what Jesus endured. that he endured all this for us. Amen? But what we need to understand is that as his followers, as his people, we're going to have to undergo the sufferings of Christ also. There's going to be suffering involved in the offering, amen, of ourselves to him as his servants, especially the opposition from men, amen, because the devil is real. He hates you and I, and he doesn't want the message of the gospel getting out. And so he's trying to snuff out, to silence the church and the witness of the church in the earth. So we need to understand that there's going to be times, and right now we may get some rejection from the world. You know, we may be despised by the world. And at this point, in some cases, you may, you know, just experience, you know, what it's like to not any longer, you know, have people that once were your friends are no longer your friends. They're no longer with you now because you're one of those Jesus people. And, you know, sometimes we can even be shaken by those minor things. And what God wants to do is he wants to toughen his people up. He wants to strengthen his people. He wants to build us up inside so that we will endure anything that comes our way. And he won't allow anything in our lives that we're not going to be able to overcome by his grace. His grace is by receiving, amen, him and abiding in his love. It's the love of God that can endure all things. It's not about, I've got enough willpower. Some people have a lot of willpower and they can go through a lot of torture and torment and be able to stand up under it. But every man's got a breaking point. But in God, in Christ, we are able to do anything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the time is coming, and I don't know how long it's going to be, but folks, we're already seeing the beginning of persecution in America. And folks, we got to get bent out of shape over a hangnail. You know what? We got to grow up and we got to get strengthened in the Lord. We need to submit ourselves to his dealings and understand that there's going to be difficulty. Yes, at times there's going to be sickness. At times there's going to be things that happen to us that God knows all about. If the very hairs of your head are numbered, he knows all about it. And at any time he can intervene. It's not just based upon our faith. It has to do with his sovereign plan and purpose for our lives, because we are, amen, the clay and he is the potter. We don't control everything that happens in our lives. He's a good father, and sometimes he gives liberty to his kids, and he'll give them what they want sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't. And then Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, when he's in prison writing this, he says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Now the New Living Translation says it this way, Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, your agape. That's the word agape. What does it say? Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. You know, sometimes we're not very patient with each other. And we're sometimes quick to point out faults in one another. But verse 3 says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, as we are a team, and as we grow, as we go forward, there's times when we're going to step on each other's toes. And of course, that was a revelation, but we need to abide in the love of God so that we can endure these things without receiving offense towards one another and erecting walls between us. We've got to keep the wall down, and we've got to learn, amen, how to walk in the love of God in such a way that we're able to endure these things and respond in love, even when things may not be done in a fair manner towards us, we can still respond in love to that. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. This is New Living Translation. I love it. And endures through every circumstance. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. And that word if also means since. It's not an if, it means really since indeed we suffer with Him. Because all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And then he says in verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, Paul is seeing all Christians here as being co-sufferers with Christ, and all Christians as glorified with Christ. So, that's a good thing, folks, that if we suffer with Him, we're going to what? We're also reign with Him. So God turns everything around for good. Romans 8:28, right? He works it all together for the good to them who love the Lord. And of course, there are going to be others who will suffer more than others for the cause of Christ. And this is going to result in differing degrees of rewards when we get to heaven. But the bottom line is, if we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know, you're going to be seen here as incurring the wrath of the world, the hostility of the world. And you're going to have to understand something, that in God there is no shame. But in the eyes of the world, we may be, you know, shamed by them. In other words, they hung Jesus on a cross naked, folks. He didn't have that cloth. He was shamed. Amen. And He bore all that on our behalf, so that we have now in the redemption, we have a place of refuge, a solace in the Lord. No matter what you're going through, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, you have a refuge in the Lord, and you have a Lord who understands what it's like to walk in this world. And He suffered on our behalf. He experienced it all for us. And that's good news. He understands what we're going through. But He doesn't always prevent or stop what we're going through. You may, and I may not always be able to change what's going on in my life, but I know this, that if I hold on to Jesus, I will change in the process. And that's the bottom line for all of this, is God is making us beautiful. He's developing us for eternity. And so, again, Peter said, we should not be surprised, brethren, as we endure all kinds of trials, right? Difficulties. 1 Peter 4:12, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And folks, that's talking to a church that was undergoing some severe persecution. But he's saying, listen, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's love, amen, will hold you, will keep you through it all. No matter what you experience in this life, you don't ever turn against God. Don't ever run away from God. Don't blame God for it. Instead, run to God. God is trying to teach us to listen to Him, to receive from Him, to be changed. Amen. We cannot change ourselves. And if we had our way, we would still be in the same messed up, marred state, wouldn't we? We wouldn't submit ourselves to it. So God doesn't always tell us what he's going to do. But what he does is always good. What he does is always good. What he allows may not always be good, but what God does is always good. But whatever may seem to be bad or negative at the time, one day will produce, amen, the good fruit of righteousness in us. As we are honed, as we are made beautiful through the processes of the Lord in our lives, getting us ready again, because we're a bride and we're in preparation, and the time is coming where we're going to see Jesus, and he's going to see his bride in all of her glory and all of her beauty without spot or wrinkle. So rejoice in the fact that no matter what, it may not always be good, it may not always feel good, but what are we supposed to do instead? Rejoice. Rejoice in it. It takes discipline to do that. It takes you and I saying, you know what, I can either go along with this and I can yield to it, I can give in to it, and I can get bitter, I can get angry, I can complain, or instead I can praise the Lord. I can thank God that he's allowing something in my life that I know will turn out for good. It may not be good right now, but the time is coming when we will all know. We will know just as we're known. God is working something out, a plan that's going to be beautiful. Amen. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. And he's making something beautiful out of you and I. He's taking the ugliness out, you know. He's taking the impurities out. He's taking the garbage out. And he's putting himself in there. Amen. He's replacing that with him, himself. And we're becoming more and more like Jesus as we're refined. Hallelujah. Enduring love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, even the sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from our Father's will. You know all things, Lord. Lord, you know the future and you know the past. And Lord, those who trust in you will not be disappointed. They will not be ashamed. Those who hope in you, Lord, will have a bright future and a hope. Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to trust. Help us to hold fast to you, God, no matter what happens. Lord, your word is eternal. Your word is true. That we can hold on, Lord, to every word that you speak. Every word that you speak is true. Your word is forever settled in heaven. It is steadfast. It is sure. It is a foundation that will hold us, that will keep us through the storms, through the trials, through the difficulties of life. My God is with me. My God is for me. And because of that, who can be against me?